The film is in black and white. Big Ben stands against the London sky, the hands pointing to 11 o'clock. A London film production. The strings of a zither vibrate above the flat face of the instrument. Presented by Alexander Korda and David O. Selznick. Joseph Cotton, Valley, Orson Welles, Trevor Howard. Carol Reed's production, The Third Man by Graham Greene. Paul Herberger, Ernst Deutsch, Eric Ponto, Siegfried Breuer, Hedwig Bliebtreu, Bernard Lee, Wilfred Hyde White. Screenplay by Graham Greene. Photographed by Robert Krasker. Sets designed by Vincent Korda with John Hawksworth, Joseph Bato. Zither music played by Anton Karas. Associate producer, Hugh Percival. Distributed by British Lion Film Corporation. Editor, Oswald Hafenrichter. Assistant director, Guy Hamilton. Production manager, T.S. Lyndon Haynes. Sound supervisor, John Cox. Sound editor, Jack Drake. Produced and directed by Carol Reed. Vienna under a winter sky.
I never knew the old Vienna before the war with its Strauss music, its glamour and easy charm. Constantinople suited me better. I really got to know it in the classic period of the black market. We'd run anything if people wanted it enough and had the money to pay. Of course, a situation like that does tempt amateurs, but, well, they can't stay the course like a professional. Now, the city, it's divided into four zones, you know, each occupied by a power, the American, the British, the Russian, and the French. But the center of the city, that's international, policed by an international patrol, one member of each of the four powers. Wonderful. What a hope they had. All strangers to the place, and none of them could speak the same language, except a sort of smattering of German. Good fellows on the whole, did their best, you know. Vienna doesn't really look any worse than a lot of other European cities. Bombed about a bit. Oh, I was going to tell you about Holly Martins, an American, came all the way here to visit a friend of his. The name was Lime, Harry Lime. Now, Martins was broke, and Lime had offered him some sort of a job. Anyway, there he was, poor chap. Happy as a lark and without a cent.
A big train pulls into Vienna station, belching clouds of white steam. A man in an overcoat and trilby hat and carrying a holdall steps out. A military policeman stops him.
Passports, please.
Oh.
What's the purpose of your visit here?
A friend of mine offered me a job here.
Where are you staying?
With him, 15 Stiftgasse.
His name?
Lime, Harry Lime.
Okay.
Thought he'd be here to meet me.
Holly, striding along a street filled with neoclassical buildings, walks under a ladder. He stares up at an imposing entrance guarded by two huge, scantily clad classical statues. He skips up the steps and into a high-ceilinged lobby with another entrance from the street behind. He runs up the wide stairway to the first floor, glancing at several doors before stopping at one of them. An elderly man changing a light bulb on the landing above looks down at him.
Da werden Sie kein Glück haben, mein lieber Herr. Sie kommen 10 Minuten zu spät. Da ist niemand mehr hier. Die Leute umsonst.
Speak English?
English? Little. Sie kommen 10 Minuten zu spät. 10 minutes too late. Already gone.
Who?
His friends. And the... coffin.
Coffin?
Mr. Limes, an accident, knocked over by a car. He in front of the house. Have seen it myself. Killed at once, immediately. Already in...
He points up.
Hell.
He points down.
Or in heaven. Sorry for the gravediggers. Hard work. It is frost.
Holly's walking through a cemetery, glancing at the memorials. A man in a shiny leather coat is leaning against a stone cross, watching a funeral 10 yards away. Holly stops beside him.
Can you tell me, who's the fellow called Lyme?
The man watches Holly join the funeral party. The priest, his assistant, the undertaker, a young woman and two older men who watch him suspiciously.
Gelitten unter Pontius Pilatus, gekreuzigt, gestorben und begraben, abgestiegen zur Hölle, am dritten Tage wieder auferstanden von den Toten, aufgefahren in den Himmel, sitze zur rechten Hand Gottes des allmächtigen Vaters.
Wer ist?
Und an ihn erkommen wird zu richten die Lebendigen und die Toten. Ich glaube an den Heiligen Geist, die heilige katholische Kirche, Gemeinschaft der Heiligen, Ablass der Sünden, Auferstehung des Fleisches und ein ewiges Leben. Amen. Der gib ihm die ewige Ruhe.
Der
lass sie ruhen in Frieden. Amen. Amen. Des Vaters, des Sohnes, des Heiligen Geistes. Amen.
The priest tips earth into the grave and turns to go, touching the young woman's hand as he leaves. The undertaker offers her a spatula of earth. She turns and goes, hands thrust in her coat pockets, head down. Holly steps forward and throws the earth into the grave. The two old men eye him coldly. Holly puts his hat back on and walks slowly away, watched by the man in the leather coat. The two older men throw earth into the grave and start to move off, but one, wearing a spotty bow tie, touches the other's arm. He takes a wreath from the other man and lays it by the grave. The man in the leather coat follows Holly between the gravestones until they reach a main avenue where the breeze sets dead leaves scurrying.
Like a lift to town? I've got a car here.
Holly stops, then turns and walks towards a black saloon. The man in the leather coat holds the door open for him.
Thanks.
Some yards behind them, a soldier sitting at the wheel of an open jeep tosses aside the magazine he's reading and starts the engine. As the saloon pulls away, he follows.
My name's Calloway.
Martins.
You a friend of Lime?
Yeah.
Been here long?
No.
They pass the young woman who was at the funeral. From his seat in the back beside Holly, Calloway cranes his head round to get a good look at her. He also observes the jeep still just behind them.
You've had a bit of a shock, haven't you? You could do with a drink.
Could you buy me one? I haven't got any Austrian course. Thanks.
Schmolka.
In a bar.
I guess nobody knew Harry like he did. Like I did.
How long ago?
Back in school. Was never so lonesome in my life till he showed up.
When did you see him last?
September 39.
When the business started?
Mm-hmm.
See much of him before that?
Once in a while. Best friend I ever had.
That sounds like a cheap novelette.
Why write cheap novelette?
I'm afraid I've never heard of you. What's your name again?
Holly Martins.
No, sorry.
You ever hear of the Lone Rider of Santa Fe?
Can't say that I have.
Death at Double Eggs Ranch? Raunch?
No.
He must have known I was broke. He even sent me an airplane ticket. It's a shame.
What?
Him dying like that.
Best thing that ever happened to him.
What are you trying to say?
He was about the worst racketeer that ever made a dirty living in this city.
Policeman, huh?
Come on. Have another drink.
Oh. I never did like policemen. I have to call them sheriffs.
Ever seen one?
Pin it on a dead man. Some petty racket with gasoline or something. Just like a cop. You're a real cop, I suppose.
It wasn't petrol.
So it wasn't petrol.
He stands.
So it was tires or saccharin. Why don't you catch a few murderers for a change?
Well, you could say that murder was part of his racket.
The soldier from the jeep grabs Holly.
It's all right, Payne. He's only a scribbler with too much drink in him. Take Mr. Holly Martins home.
Holly Martins? The writer? The author of Death at Double X Ranch?
Listen, Callahan.
Calloway, I'm English, not Irish.
If you're not going to close your files at a dead man's expense.
So you're going to find me the real criminal. Sounds like one of your stories.
When I'm finished with you, you'll leave Vienna, you look so silly.
Here's some army money. Should see you through tonight at Sarkis Hotel if you don't drink too much in the bar. We'll keep a seat for you on tomorrow's plane.
Holly tries to hit Calloway, but Payne hits him first.
Please be careful, sir. Up we come. Written anything lately?
Take him to Sarkis. Don't hit him again if he behaves. And you go carefully there. It's a military hotel.
I'm so glad to have met you, sir. I've read quite a few of your books.
How pleasing they are.
I like a good western.
In the hotel.
That's what I like about them, sir. You can pick them up and put them down any time. Now, Mr. Hartmut.
Yes,
sir. Major Calloway said this gentleman's got to have a room for the night. He'll be off tomorrow.
Passport, please.
Can't anyone introduce you to everybody?
A man and woman enter the lobby. Payne approaches them.
In English, in...
Mr. Crabbin.
What is it, Sergeant?
Mr. Holly Martin, sir.
Who?
The author. Thought you might be interested.
Never heard of him.
Well, he's very good, sir. I've read quite a few of his books.
Have you, Sergeant? Author? Martins? Thank you, Sergeant.
The woman waits as he goes over.
Mr. Martins? My name's Crabbin. I represent the CRS of GHQ.
You do?
Yes, cultural re-education section. Propaganda, very important in a place like this. We do a little show each week. Last week we had Hamlet. The week before we had, something.
The striptease, sir.
Yes, the Hindu dancers. Thank you, Sergeant. This is the first opportunity we've had of making an American author welcome.
Welcome.
Now, I'll tell you what, Mr. Martins. On Wednesday night at our institute, we're having a little lecture on the contemporary novel. Thought perhaps you'd like to speak.
Oh, they wouldn't know me.
Oh, nonsense. Your novels are very popular here, aren't they, Sergeant?
Very popular, sir. Oh,
very popular. Are you staying long?
How long can one stay here on this stage money?
Listen, Mr. Martins, if you'd agree to be our guest, we'd be delighted to have you.
Holly dabs his mouth with a handkerchief.
Would you?
As long as you care to stay.
But he's due to leave tomorrow, sir.
Excuse me, have you got toothache?
Number 8, Mr. Martin.
Come upstairs a moment, dear.
I know a very good dentist.
I don't need a dentist. Somebody hit me, that's all.
But, dear?
Goodness, we must report that to the police. Were they trying to rob you?
Oh, just a soldier. I was trying to punch his major in the eye.
No, a major, were you really?
Heard of Harry Lyme?
Well, I've heard of him, of course, but I didn't exactly know him.
Well, I was going to stay with him, but he died Thursday.
Goodness, that's awkward.
How would you say to people after death? Goodness, that's awkward.
Mr. Martins! Excuse me. Telephone.
Who is it?
Baron Kurtz.
There must be some mistake. Yes?
I was a friend of Harry Lyme.
I'd very much like to meet you, Baron. Come around.
Austrians aren't allowed in your hotel. Couldn't we meet at the Mozart Cafe?
Where?
Just around the corner.
How'll I know you?
I'll carry a copy of one of your books. Harry gave it to me.
Be there in a moment. Wait a minute. If I do this lecture business, you'll put me up here a while?
Certainly.
It's a deal. You ever read a book of mine called The Lone Rider of Santa Fe?
No, not that one, sir.
It's a story about a man who hunted down a sheriff who was victimizing his best friend.
Seems exciting.
It is. I'm gunning just the same way for you, Major Callahan.
He leaves the hotel.
Sounds empty pretty, sir.
The man with the spotty bow tie crosses a square towards some outdoor cafe tables. He's holding a book with a lurid cover in one hand and a tiny dog in the other. Holly watches him. The man waggles the book and Holly goes to him.
Baron Kurtz?
Mr. Martins? Delighted to meet you. Come, let's sit down here. Over.
Zwei, what would you like? Tea? Coffee?
Coffee.
Schwarz. It's wonderful how you keep the tension.
Tension?
Suspense.
You really liked it?
At the end of every chapter, you are left guessing what he'll be up to next.
So, you were a friend of Harry's?
I think his best. Except you, of course.
The police have a crazy notion that he was mixed up in some sort of racket.
Everyone in Vienna is. We all sell cigarettes and that kind of thing. I tell you, I've done things that would have seemed unthinkable before the war. Once, when I was hard up, I sold some tires on the black market. I wonder what my father would have said.
Well, I'm afraid the police meant more than that.
They get rather absurd ideas sometimes. He's somewhere now, he won't mind about that.
Even so, I'm not going to leave it at this. Will you help me?
I wish I could. But you know, I'm an Austrian. I have to be careful with the police. I'm afraid I can't help you. Except with advice, of course. Advice.
Outside Harry's apartment building.
We came out of his place like this, and we are walking this way. A friend of his called to him from over there. Harry went across, and from up there came the truck. It was just about here.
The porter's outside the building watching them.
Here?
Yes. His friend and I picked him up, carried him across, over here. It was a terrible thing. Terrible.
A woman watches from a window.
We laid him down, just about here.
He leans against a bollard.
And this is where he died. Even at the end, his thoughts were of you.
What did he say?
I can't remember the exact words, Holly. I may call you Holly, mayn't I? He always called you that to us. He was anxious I should look after you when you arrived, to see that you got safely home, tickets, you know, and all that.
But he said he died instantaneously.
They both look back at the porter sweeping outside the door.
Well, he died before the ambulance could reach us.
Well, it was only you and this friend of his. Who is he?
A Romanian, Mr. Popescu.
I'd like to talk to him.
He has left Vienna.
Polly walks slowly back to the porter. Kurtz's face hardens and he follows.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Did you know Mr. Lime well?
Mr. Lime, yes.
You remember me, upstairs.
Yes, I remember you.
Well, who used to visit Mr. Lime?
Visit? Was will er wissen?
Er will wissen, wer hier verkehrt hat.
Ach so, ja, es kommen so viele Leute her. Sie waren da, der Popescu und... Ich kann nicht alle kennen.
What did he say?
He says he doesn't know everybody.
Yes. Karl, kannst du einen Moment hereinkommen?
Moment, ja. Schauen Sie, ich bin ja nur...
Du musst ans Telefon.
Excuse me.
He goes in with the woman who is watching from the window.
Who is at the funeral beside you?
Only his doctor, Dr. Winkel.
Wasn't there a girl there?
Some girl of the Josefstadt Theater. You know what Harry was. You oughtn't to speak to her. It would only cause her pain.
Not necessarily. She'd probably want to help.
What's the good of another postmortem? Suppose you dig up something, well, discreditable to Harry.
Would you give me your address?
I live in the Russian sector, but you'll find me at the Casanova Club every night. One has to work the best way one can, you know.
What's the name of this girl?
I don't know. I don't think I ever heard it.
You did mention the theater.
Josefstadt. But I still think it won't do Harry any good. You do better to think of yourself.
I'll be all right.
Of course. I'm so glad I've met you. The master of suspense. Such a good cover, I think.
Sergeant Payne is waiting at the hotel reception desk.
Yeah. Number 8, please.
Major Calloway's compliments, sir, and here's the ticket for the plane tomorrow.
You tell the Major I won't need it. Oh, Porter, order me a ticket tonight for the Josefstadt Theater.
Ah, Mr. Martin.
Good evening.
I said I was to drive you to the airfield or take you to the bus, sir. Whichever you prefer.
Didn't you hear Mr. Craven offer me the hospitality of the HQ BMT?
Ich bitte dich. Ich bitte dich. Ich bitte
dich. At the theater.
Nur nicht streng zu kommen. Sonst sagen wir alles der Frau Mama.
Na, um Gottes Willen, na, nur das nicht. Meine herzensguten Kinder.
Wenn ich der Mama nicht sage, dass du das Stuhlmädchen immer die Wangen zwickst, lass du mich dann den Wolfgang heiraten?
Das ist ja glatte Erpressung.
Also, also, also.
Ja. Wenn ich die drei Madel nicht hätte, dann könnte ich mir auch drei Kreuzer dann halten. Giftiger können die auch nicht stechen.
Having recognized Anna on stage, Holly leaves his seat and heads for the bar. A man darts through the pass door to the wings backstage. The door closes slowly, and Holly sees Anna checking her elaborate 18th century costume. He pushes the door open a little and leans through. He hesitates.
I was a friend of Harry Lime.
Anna looks at him uncertainly.
Afterwards.
She darts on stage from where she glances back at Holly.
Mein Kind, das neue Chiffonkleid für dich ist
bestellt.
Holly hovers outside the open dressing room door as Anna removes her costume jewelry.
Miss Schmidt.
Oh, come in.
Thank you.
Sit down.
Thank you. I enjoy the play very much.
Danke. Good enough, Anna. Good enough.
You were awfully good.
Do you understand German?
No. I could follow it fine.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps Harry told you about me. My name is Holly Martins.
No, he never told me about his friends.
Oh.
Would you like some tea?
Thank you.
Someone threw me this packet last week. Sometimes the British do instead of flowers, you know, on the first night. That was a bouquet too from an American. Would you rather have whiskey?
She has a bottle.
Tea's fine.
Good, I wanted to sell it. Oh, there is some tea left.
Had you known him sometime?
She hands him a cup, offers sugar.
Yes?
I wanted to talk to you. No, thank you. I wanted to talk to you about him.
There's nothing really to talk about, is there? Nothing.
Well, I saw you at the funeral.
I'm so sorry, I didn't notice much.
She takes off her wig.
You were in love with him, weren't you?
I don't know. How can you know a thing like that afterwards? I don't know anything anymore except I want to be dead too. Some more tea?
No, your tea. Would you like a cigarette?
Oh, American, thank you. I like them.
I was talking to another friend of Harry's, Baron Kurtz. Do you know him?
No.
He's got a little dog.
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you understand what Harry saw in a fellow like that?
That was the man who brought me some money when Harry died. He said Harry had been anxious at the last moment.
Yeah. He said he remembered me, too. Seems to show he wasn't in much pain.
Dr. Binkle told me that.
Dr. Binkle? Who's he?
A doctor Harry used to go to. He was passing just after it happened.
His own doctor?
Yes.
Well, were you at the inquest?
Yes. They said it wasn't the driver's fault. Harry had often said what a careful driver he was.
He was Harry's driver?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't get it.
Polly stands.
All of them there. Kurtz, this Romanian Popescu, his own driver knocking him over, his own doctor just passing by. No strangers there at all.
I know. I wondered about it 100 times, if it really was an accident.
Polly turns and stares at her. She looks up from brushing out her wig.
What difference does it make? He's dead, isn't he?
But if it wasn't...
Yeah, Frau Huber. Yeah, I guess, Sean. I must hurry. They don't like us to use the lights.
Porter saw it happen.
Then why worry?
Polly looks at his watch.
Do you know that Porter?
Yes.
In Harry's apartment.
Es ist gleich da unten. Da ist es passiert. Passiert, English passiert.
What's he saying?
He says it happened right down there.
Happened, yes. Happened right down there.
You saw it?
Well, not so. Heard. I heard the brakes.
What?
And I got to the window and saw them carry the body to the other side of the Joseph. That Joseph. Emperor Joseph statue.
Why didn't they bring him in the house?
Anna wanders from the living room through double doors into the bedroom, equally richly furnished in 18th century Baroque style. She sits at a small dressing table, staring into the mirror, and pulls off her hat. Opening the drawer, she takes out a comb, examines it, and pulls it through her thick, dark hair. Holly and the porter are still beside the window in the living room.
Could he have been conscious?
Conscious? Miss Ulyanovich?
Was he still alive?
Alive? He couldn't have been alive. Not with his head in the way it was.
I was told that he did not die at once.
Aber woher denn? Der war gleich tot, der Franz keine Angst.
No, I mean that...
Er war gleich tot. Sind Sie? Gleich tot. Moment.
No, you...
Warte ein bisschen, Moment. Franz Schmidt, bitte, wie sagt man auf Englisch? Er war gleich tot.
He was quite dead.
He was quite dead.
But this sounds crazy. If he was killed at once, how could he have talked about me and this lady here after he was dead? Why didn't you say all this at the inquest?
It's better not to be mixed up in things like this.
Things like what?
Anna hides a photo of herself in the drawer.
I was not the only one who did not give evidence.
Who else?
3 men helped to carry your friend to the statue.
Kurtz?
Yes.
The Romanian?
Yes.
And?
There was a 3rd man. He didn't give evidence.
You don't mean the doctor?
No. He came later. After they carried him to the Joseph statue.
What did this man look like?
I didn't see his face.
Holly walks away.
He didn't look up. He was quite gewöhnlich, ordinary. He might have been just anybody.
Just anybody.
Hello?
Anna sits on the bed.
Hello? Barista? Hello.
Without looking, she takes dice from a box.
Warum antworten Sie nicht? Hello?
Who was that?
I don't know. They didn't answer.
But I was told there were only 2 men there. You've got to tell your story to the police.
Police? Why police? It was in the song. It's nonsense. It is all nonsense. It was an accident.
You don't know it was an accident.
You only saw a dead man with three men carrying him.
The army mocked me in a gun step, but I should have listened to my wife. She said you were up to no good. Gosted.
Suppose I take your evidence to the police.
A ball bounces into the room and a little boy stares in through the door.
I have no evidence. I saw nothing. I said nothing. It's not my business.
We'll make it your business.
I have always liked you, but you must not bring this gentleman again. You must go at once, please. Please, sonst vergesse mein winnerischen Charme. Please. Und ich bläht ein Hirsch, nur weil ich höflich sein will, krieg jetzt auf einmal in der Scherre mit der Polizei.
Holly and Anna stroll down the street.
You shouldn't get mixed up in this.
Well, if I do find out something, can I look you up again?
Why don't you leave this town? Go home.
Unglaublich! Ja, wo stecken Sie denn, Fräulein Schmidt? Die Polizei ist oben. Sie suchen nach Papieren und lesen all ihre Briefe, als wenn man ein Verbrecher wäre.
What is it?
Was will die Polizei von Ihnen?
Ich weiß nicht.
Das müssen Sie doch wissen. Ich meine, ohne Grund wird die Polizei ja nicht ins Haus kommen, Fräulein Schmidt. Eine Schande.
What's she talking about?
The police. They are searching my room.
Sie müssen doch wissen, um was es sich handelt. Mein Gott, das ist doch schrecklich. Man ist ja nicht mehr Herr in seinem eigenen Haus, wenn es noch die österreichische Polizei wäre. Aber Amerikaner, Russen, Franzosen und mitten in der Nacht. Ich meine, wenn Sie mich doch wenigstens...
Anna leads Holly upstairs, where she turns into a room being searched by military police in the uniforms of at least four different countries. Calloway, hands in the pockets of a beige duffel coat, strolls around, overseeing the search.
What the devil?
Getting around, Martins?
Oh, pinning things on girls now.
Miss Schmidt, I should like to see your papers, please. Don't you give him anything?
Holly turns away as Anna opens her bag.
Thank you. You were born in Graz of Austrian parents?
Yes.
Calloway smiles cynically.
Pain.
Payne stands and peers as Calloway flicks through the thin booklet. Payne turns back a page and points at something. He takes the booklet and holds the page up to the light. Anna watches, stony-faced.
It's very good, isn't it?
Calloway looks at her.
How much did you pay for this? I'm afraid I shall have to keep this for a while, Miss Schmidt.
How do you expect her to live in the city without her papers?
Write her out a receipt, Payne, and give her a receipt of those letters, too.
This way, miss.
I suppose it wouldn't interest you to know that Harry Lyme was murdered. You're too busy. You haven't even bothered to get the complete evidence.
Anna walks slowly to the washstand where Payne is writing and looks over his shoulder at the letters he's holding.
Must you take those?
They'll be returned, miss.
They're private letters.
That's all right, miss, don't worry. We're used to it, like doctors.
There was a third man there. I suppose that doesn't sound peculiar to you.
I'm not interested in whether a racketeer like Lyme was killed by his friends or by an accident. The only important thing is that he's dead.
Anna is staring at him.
I'm sorry. Tactful too, aren't we, Callahan? Calloway.
Must you take those letters?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
They're Harry's.
That's the reason.
You won't learn anything from them. They're only love letters. There are not many of them.
They'll be returned to you, Miss Schmidt, as soon as they've been examined.
There's nothing in them. Harry never did anything. Only a small thing once out of kindness.
And what was that?
He's flicking through the booklet.
You've got it in your hand.
Major Calloway. Finished?
Yes. Okay.
You'll have to come with us, Miss Schmidt.
You're not locking her up.
Go home, Martins, like a sensible chap. You don't know what you're mixing in. Get the next plane.
As soon as I get to the bottom of this, I'll get the next plane.
Death's at the bottom of everything, Martins. Leave death to the professionals.
Mind if I use that line my next Western? You can't chuck me out. My papers are in order.
Here we are, miss. Your receipt for the letters.
I don't want it.
Well, I've got it when you want it, miss.
Holly goes to her.
Anything really wrong with your papers?
Her face crumples. She rubs her cheek.
They're forged.
Why?
The Russians would claim me. I come from Czechoslovakia.
Wie die Vandalen! Hey, Sie, wo schleppen Sie denn das wieder hin? Mein Gott, Sie können doch nicht das ganze Haus auf den Kopf stellen. Monsieur, versteht er auch nicht. Mensch, hier ist doch kein Wirtshaus. Hier ist das Schlafzimmer einer Dame. Freund Schmidt, erklären Sie doch den Leuten.
Ja, ja.
Sagen Sie es nur den Leuten, damit sie es auch wissen.
She said,
only complaining about the way they behave in her house.
Hier sind früher Fürsten aus und eingegangen. Hier hat sogar ein Metternich verkehrt.
Give us some cigarettes.
Das waren noch Zeiten. Da hat man sich noch anständig benommen. Danke. Danke, sehr lieben Sie. Frau Lange, danke, danke vielmals. Sie sind wirklich der einzige anständige Mensch hier.
Miss Schmidt, ready?
Look, I will straighten out all this nonsense about Harry. You'll be all right.
Sometimes he said I laughed too much.
She leaves, surrounded by police.
What's the name of that doctor, Harry's doctor?
Dr. Winkle.
What do you want to see a doctor for?
A bruised lip. Good.
Schöne Geschichte. Sie sind Amerikaner. Wäre so etwas in Ihrem Land möglich?
Holly and the old woman, a quilt round her shoulders, watch them go.
Die Befreiung habe ich mir ganz anders vorgestellt.
A drawer taken from Anna's room is searched.
Laboratory, we're coming right down.
Anna watches as Payne picks up the drawer and strides to the door of Calloway's office, followed by Calloway himself, who glances at her before leaving.
You wait here, Miss Schmidt.
Anna walks to a window and looks out onto the corridor. In the office across the hall, two uniformed men are examining a booklet. The sign on their office door reads, Russian Liaison Officer. One of the Russians leaves, frowning at Anna's photo on her documents. Her eyes follow him as he walks along the corridor. Holly walks down a shabby street. A carving knife carefully slices a roast chicken.
Haben Sie lieber einen Flügel oder das Bein?
The carving knife stops. The front door is opened by a maid.
Is Dr. Winkle in?
Die Sprechstunde ist zwischen 3 und 5.
Dr. Winkle, I'm sorry I don't speak German.
Nein.
Please, won't you say that I'm a friend of Harry Lime?
Hilde?
Ja?
Führen Sie den Herrn herein.
Bitte. Bitte sehr.
Holly passes through the hall into a well-furnished sitting room. He looks slowly around at the many statues and ornaments. The other man from the funeral peers through a lead-glazed door before entering.
Guten Abend.
Dr. Winkle?
Winkle.
Dr. Winkle. Quite a collection of, collection.
Yes. Was willst du hier? Du hast ihr gar nichts verloren. Mach, dass du rauskommst. Ja, komm hier.
Winkle hastily pushes out the little dog Kurtz had been carrying.
Is that your dog?
Yes. Would you mind, Mr.
Martins,
coming to the point, please?
Thank you.
I have guests waiting.
We were both friends of Harry Lime.
I was his medical advisor.
I want to find out all I can.
Find out?
Hear the details.
I can tell you very little. He was run over by a car. He was dead when I arrived.
Who was with him?
Two friends of his.
Sure? Two?
Quite sure.
Winkle moves away.
Could he have been at all conscious?
I understand he was, yes, for a short time. While they carried him across the road.
In great pain?
Not necessarily.
Could he have been capable of making plans for me and others just during those few moments? I understand he left some instructions before he died.
I cannot give an opinion. I was not there. My opinion is limited to the causes of death. Have you any reason to be dissatisfied?
Was it possible that his death might have been not accidental? Could he have been pushed, Dr. Winkle?
Winkle. I cannot give an opinion. The injuries to the head and skull would have been the same.
As Calloway opens the door to his office, the Russian liaison officer steps into the corridor.
Major, may I see you for a moment, please?
Certainly, Androtsky. What is it?
This forgery is very clever. And we are interested in this case. Have you arrested the girl?
No, not yet.
Please, keep this passport to yourself until I will make some inquiries. Will you, Major?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Right, sit down, Miss Schmidt. We'll send your letters and things back to you.
And my passport?
We'll need that for a while longer.
He drops her passport into a drawer. She looks around at Brodsky, riffling through a file.
What did he mean?
You know as much as I do.
Calloway picks up a photograph.
Miss Schmidt, you were intimate with Lyme, weren't you?
We loved each other. You mean that?
Do you know this man?
I've never seen him.
Joseph Harbin?
No.
He works in a military hospital.
No.
It's stupid to lie to me, Miss Schmidt. I'm in a position to help you.
I'm not lying. You're wrong about Harry. You're wrong about everything.
In one of his letters, he asked you to telephone a good friend of his called Joseph. He gave you the number of the Casanova Club. That's where a lot of friends of Lyme used to go.
It wasn't important.
What was the message?
Something about meeting Harry at his home.
Harbin disappeared the day you telephoned. We've got to find him. You can help us.
What can I tell you, but you've got everything upside down.
Okay. That American friend of yours is still waiting for you. He won't do you much good.
He looks out of the window at Holly on the street corner opposite.
Why, thank you, Miss Smith. We'll send for you when we want you.
She hesitates, then looks down miserably. Holly and Anna enter the Casanova Review Bühne.
Hello, Mr. Martins. I've been trying to get you at your hotel. I've arranged that lecture for tomorrow.
What about?
On the modern novel, you remember what we arranged. Oh. Now, they want you to talk on the crisis of fate.
What's that?
Oh, I thought you'd know. You're a writer.
But of course you do. Good night, old man.
Oh, I've forgotten my hat. I'll let you know the time later.
Holly crosses the floor of the plush but sparsely occupied club. As he joins Anna at the bar, he glances at the violinist serenading a couple at their table.
Drink?
Whiskey.
Two whiskies.
The violinist, bending low over the shoulder of a large woman who slurps her soup and ignores him, is Baron Kurtz.
My whiskey?
How much?
20 shilling, bitte.
Well, they don't take army money here.
How much did he say?
A photo slips out of Anna's purse.
Harry?
Yes. He moved his head, but the rest is good, isn't it?
They smile over the photo. Kurtz straightens up, watching them unsmiling. He glances across at a heavy-set man sitting alone. Kurtz nods, indicating Anna and Holly. The solitary man inspects them while Kurtz walks over to them.
Good evening, Miss Smith.
Good evening.
You've found out my little secret. A man must live.
How goes the investigation? Have you proved the policeman wrong?
Not yet.
But you will. Our friend Dr. Winkle said you had called. Wasn't he helpful?
Well, he was limited.
But Mr. Popescu is here tonight.
The Romanian?
Yes, the man who helped carry him.
I thought he left Vienna.
He's back now.
Well, I'd like to meet all of Harry's friends.
I'll bring him to you.
Haven't you done enough for tonight?
The porter said three men carried the body and two of them are here.
A squad of four policemen enter, staring around them.
Who are you looking for now?
Don't, please don't.
Silly looking bunch.
Kurtz brings the heavyset man to them.
Mr. Popescu, Mr. Martin.
How do you do?
Yeah.
And a friend of Harry's, a friend of mine.
I'll leave you together.
Good evening, Schmidt. You remember me?
Of course.
He kisses her hand.
I helped Harry fix her papers, Mr. Martins.
Oh, you did?
Not the sort of thing I should confess to a stranger, but you have to break the rules sometimes. Humanity is a duty. Cigarette, Miss Schmidt?
Yeah, thank you.
Keeps a pack.
I understand you were with Harry.
Two double whiskies. Und was wünschen Sie?
Danke, gar nicht.
Entschuldigen Sie.
He leads Holly away.
It was a terrible thing. I was just crossing the road to go to Harry. He and the Baron were on the sidewalk. Maybe if I hadn't started across the road, it wouldn't have happened. I can't help blaming myself and wishing things had been different. Anyway, he saw me and stepped off the sidewalk to meet me. And the truck... It was terrible, Mr. Martins, terrible. I've never seen a man killed before.
I think there was something funny about the whole thing.
Funny?
Something wrong.
Of course there was. Some ice for Mr. Martins.
You think so, too?
It was so terribly stupid for a man like Harry to be killed in an ordinary street accident.
That's all you meant?
What else?
Who was the third man?
I oughtn't to drink it.
It makes me acid. What man would you be referring to, Mr. Martins?
I was told that a third man helped you and Kurtz carry the body.
Oh, I don't know how you got that idea. You'll find all about it in the police report. There was just the two of us, me and the Baron. Who could have told you a story like that?
Ford at Harry's place. He was cleaning the window at the time.
And saw the accident?
No, he didn't see the accident. But he saw three men carrying the body.
Why wasn't he at the police inquiry?
He didn't want to get involved.
You'll never teach these Austrians to be good citizens. It was his duty to give the evidence.
Popescu sits.
Even so, he remembers wrong. What else did he tell you?
But Harry was dead before you got him to that statue. He probably knows a lot more than that. Somebody's lying.
Not necessarily.
Police say he was mixed up in some racket?
Oh, that's quite impossible. He had a great sense of duty.
Your friend Kurt seems to think it was possible.
I understand how an Anglo-Saxon feels. The Baron hasn't heard it, you know.
He seems to have been around a bit. Do you know a man called Hobbin?
Mm.
Joseph Hobbin.
Joseph, huh?
He looks over at Anna, alone and miserable.
That's a nice girl, that. But you ought to go careful in Vienna. Everybody ought to go careful in a city like this.
His eyes narrow. On the phone.
He'll meet us at the bridge. Good.
He hangs up. Kurtz glances up the street as he leaves his apartment. Elsewhere, Winkel wheels a bike into the street. Popescu also glances both ways as he steps out of his door. On a wide suspension bridge, Winkel joins three others. They talk. All four stroll slowly across the sunlit bridge, the shadows of the suspension cables black against the road, and the wide waters of the Danube rippling beneath. Holly is walking slowly backwards across the street in front of Harry's apartment. An unshaven man watches narrowly. The porter watches from his apartment window.
Hello. Is it so very important for you?
Yes, it is.
I am not a bad man. I'd like to tell you something.
Tell me, how did the car...
Shh. Come tonight. My wife was out.
All right, I'll come back, but... Shh.
Tonight.
The porter shuts the window, turns, and stops. He stares, his eyes fearful. Anna, fully dressed, is reclining miserably on her bed.
Where is that?
Let me come in.
Oh, yes, come.
The porter's going to talk to us tonight.
Need we go through it all again?
I can manage by myself. Are you busy?
Just another part I've got to learn.
Can I hear you?
In German?
I'll try. Is it comedy or tragedy?
Comedy. I don't play tragedy.
Do I,
Well, you read this.
Oh. Well, Gestern beim Hurrigan.
What's that?
Hurrigan, I guess. H-E-Z-T.
Oh, let me see. No, that's not the cue. It means she has to sit down.
He gazes at her, and she moves away again.
Well, Frau Hausmann.
No. It's no good.
Bad day.
It's always bad about this time. He used to wake in around 6. I've been frightened. I've been alone without friends and money. But I've never known anything like this. Please talk. Tell me about him.
Tell you what?
Oh, anything, just talk. Where did you see him last? When? What did you do?
Oh, we didn't make much sense. We drank too much. Once they tried to steal my girl.
Where is she?
Oh, that was 9 years ago.
Tell me more.
Well, it's very difficult. You knew Harry. We didn't do anything very amusing. They just made everything seem like such fun.
Was he clever when he was a boy?
I suppose so. He could fix anything.
What sort of things?
Oh, little things. How to put your temperature up before exam, the best crib. How to avoid this and that.
He fixed my papers for me. He heard the Russians were repatriating people like me who came from Czechoslovakia. He knew the right person straight away for forging stamps.
Yeah. When he was 14, he taught me the three-card trick. That's
growing up fast.
He never grew up. The world grew up around him, that's all. And buried him.
Anna, you fall in love again.
Don't you see, I don't want to. I don't ever want to.
Come on out and have a drink.
Why did you say that?
Seemed like a good idea.
It was just what he used to say.
Well, I didn't learn that from him.
If we have to see the porter, we'd better go.
Sorry, can't we talk quietly for a couple of minutes?
I thought you wanted
to. A moment ago, you said you didn't want to see the foil.
We're both in it, Harry.
Holly.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Might get my name right.
You know, you ought to find yourself a girl.
His English is so very bad, we'll let him talk German. You'll just be good enough to translate.
Look.
A group of people stares at an open ambulance.
That's Harry's place, isn't it?
Yes. Let's go away.
What's the matter?
Let's not get into any more trouble.
Wait here.
Holly glances back at Anna as he approaches a man at the back of the small crowd.
What's the matter? What is the bloß?
Der portier ist umgebracht worden.
I don't understand.
Porter, dead, kaputt.
The porter is ordered, kaputt. He's murdered.
It's the little boy who saw Holly in the apartment.
Was ist denn, Hansel?
Papa, see you, boss.
Boss, they are here, though.
Yeah, Papi, I'm doch gesehen. Der ist der Mörder.
People stare at Holly.
Sagen Sie, haben Sie einen Streit gehabt mit dem Portier?
I don't understand.
The boy tugs at Holly's sleeve.
Ja, Papa, Papa,
what is it?
Porter's been murdered.
Wenn der sich der mit dem Portier die Streiterei gehabt hat.
Wahrscheinlich ist der der Mörder.
I think you did it.
They turn and go. The boy follows.
See? Hello. What's a pistol? Hello, moment, man.
They scurry around a corner. The boy follows them to the corner and looks back.
Bleibst doch stehen hier.
The crowd surges after them, led by the little boy. Holly steadies Anna as they hurry down a long, badly lit stone stairway, stretching carefully over missing and broken steps. The crowd trots after them, in and out of pools of misty light and shadow. On a street again, Holly drags Anna into the entrance of a cinema, feeling in his pocket for change. Holly looks outside. The little boy advances carefully into the street, his shadow looming hugely on a poster-covered wall. They enter the dark cinema, Holly sitting behind Anna.
Sneak out the other way and go back to your theater. I'd better not see you again.
What are you going to do?
I wish I knew.
Be sensible. Tell Major Calloway.
She leaves.
Hast du dir auch alles wirklich gut?
In the hotel lobby.
Hat
der Mr. Martins gar nichts hinterlassen wegen einer Taxi?
Nein, gar nichts.
Outside the hotel, Holly peers into the open driving seat of a car and squeezes the horn. Inside, the taxi driver turns as Holly hurries into the desk.
Get me Major Callahan on the phone.
Oh, Mr. Martins,
please,
excuse
very
me.
Very urgent. Just get him on the telephone.
Do you know his number?
No, I don't know his number.
I look it up for you.
Is there a car here I can use?
Of course. They are done waiting for you.
Bitte in the hell. Bitte.
Never mind about the number.
Holly follows the taxi driver and climbs into the back of the big cab.
Take me to the headquarters.
The acceleration hurls him back against the seat. He leans forward.
Hold on. Hold on, I haven't even told you where to take me yet.
Let's start, Rui.
Driver! Driver!
The car swings past an old woman with a pack on her back.
Slow down.
A pedestrian jumps out of their way.
You got orders to kill me?
He looks back at the shadowy figure of a man rummaging in a dustbin. Light catches the face of a bald man staring at the car. Behind them, a cleaning lorry sprays the street with water, and a couple more gaunt pedestrians gaze up at the car sweeping past them. It speeds in through wide double gates, under an arch, and pulls up in a courtyard. The driver gets out. Holly opens his door.
Pitching it's rain here.
Holly gets out and prepares to make a run for it. A door opens.
Ah, Mr. Martins, what a relief to see you. I was beginning to think something had happened to you. Come along, Mr. Martins, everything's ready for you.
I was frantic in case you hadn't got my message at the hotel. The porters out here are so unreliable, if you know what I mean. We're all set for a wonderful meeting. You find the audience most appreciative.
Oh, let me take your coat. I've got it.
There'll be refreshments afterwards. Come along, Mr. M. Follow me.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. All's well that ends well.
Would you look after those for me? Thank you. Would you like to sit there, Mr. Martins? That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I have much pleasure in introducing Mr. Holly Martins from the other side.
Crabbins sits and Holly stands nervously.
Well...
Popescu's on the phone.
Bring the car and anyone else would like to come. Don't be long. Huh?
Holly clasps his hands anxiously.
Yeah, well, I suppose that is what I meant to say.
Of course, of course, of course.
Do you believe, Mr. Martins, in the stream of consciousness?
Stream of consciousness? Well,
What author has chiefly influenced you?
Gray.
Gray? What Gray?
Zane Gray.
Oh, that's Mr. Martin's little joke, of course, sir. We all know perfectly well Zane Gray wrote what we call westerns, cowboys and bandits.
Mr. James Joyce, now, where would you put him?
Holly stares at Popescu, who's just walked in.
Would you mind repeating that question?
I said, where would you put Mr. James Joyce? In what category?
Can I ask, is Mr. Martin's engaged on a new book?
Yes. It's called The Third Man.
A novel, Mr. Martins?
It's a murder story. I've just started it. It's based on fact.
Why, it's Mr. Popescu. Oh, very great pleasure to see you here, Mr. Popescu. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Popescu is a very great supporter of one of our medical charities.
Are you a slow writer, Mr. Martin?
Not when I get interested.
I'd see you were doing something pretty dangerous this time.
Yes?
Mixing fact and fiction.
Should I make it all fact?
Why no, Mr. Martins. I'd say stick to fiction. Straight fiction.
I'm too far along with the book, Mr. Popescu.
Haven't you ever scrapped a book, Mr. Martins?
Never.
Pity.
The remnants of the audience leave.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are no more questions for Mr. Martins, I think I can call the meeting officially closed.
Two men in Max and Trilby's walk in. Popescu greets them quietly and glances in Holly's direction. The two newcomers look at him expressionlessly. Holly crosses the platform, hat and coat in hand, looks at the trio. Popescu's two companions stare back. Holly turns and dashes up a circular staircase. The two men stroll to the stairs. Holly sprints up. As soon as they reach the stairs, the two men leap after him. Holly looks down and sees them. He opens a door, slips into a dark room, closes the door carefully, and puts his ear to it. He looks round.
Who's that? Who is it? Who is it? It's all right. It's all right.
He turns on the light and sees a cockatoo. He strides to the window and opens it. As he throws a leg over the sill, the cockatoo pecks his hand and he sucks the wound. He jumps a few feet down to a bombsite. Popescu's men open the door while Holly scrambles down a mound of rubble. Popescu's men slip and slide after him. Holly has run through an archway with bright light beckoning ahead of him. He pounds on through an arcade, looks back, and starts tearing up steep, wide stone stairs in front of a big church. Outside the church portico, he looks back again. The men are still behind. He tears around a corner as they start up the stairs. With their threatening shadows huge on the wall of a derelict building, Holly slithers down another bomb crater, ducks into the hulk of a wrecked car, and crouches down. Above him, the men pause and then continue around the top of the crater. Holly clambers out of the car, up to a cobbled street, and slows to a walk, holding his handkerchief over his injured hand. In Calloway's office.
I told you to go away, Martins.
This isn't Santa Fe. I'm not a sheriff and you aren't a cowboy. You've been blundering around with the worst bunch of racketeers in Vienna, your precious Harry's friends, and now you're wanted for murder.
But I'm drunk and disorderly, too.
I have. What's the matter with your hand?
Parrot bit me.
Oh, stop behaving like a fool, Martins.
I'm only a little fool. I'm an amateur at it. You're a professional. Been shaking your cap and bells all over town.
Payne, get me the Harry Lime file and get Mr. Martins a large whiskey.
I don't need your drinks, Calloway.
You will. I don't want another murder in this case, and you were born to be murdered, so you're going to hear the facts.
You haven't told me a single one yet.
Calloway adjusts his desk lamp.
You ever heard of penicillin?
Well?
In Vienna, there hasn't been enough penicillin to go round, so a nice trade started here. Stealing penicillin from the military hospitals, diluting it to make it go further, and selling it to patients. Do you see what that means?
Are you too busy chasing a few tubes of penicillin to investigate a murder?
These were murders. Men with gangrened legs, women in childbirth, and there were children too. They used some of this diluted penicillin against meningitis. The lucky children died. The unlucky ones went off their heads. You can see them now in the mental ward. That was the racket Harry Lime organized.
Calloway, you haven't shown me one shred of evidence.
We're just coming to that. Payne, Magic Lantern Show.
You good, sir?
You know, Payne's one of your devoted readers. He's promised to lend me one of your books. Which one is it, Payne?
The Lone Rider of Santa Fe, sir.
That's right. The Lone Rider of Santa Fe.
I'd like to visit Texas one day, sir.
Come on, show me what you've got to show.
All right, Payne?
Yes, sir.
A slide of a rhinoceros appears on the screen.
Pain.
I got them muddled. It's the new lot that's just come in for Mr. Crabbin.
Calloway points at a picture of three men.
See this man here? A fellow called Harbin, a medical orderly at the General Hospital. He worked for Lime and helped to steal the stuff from the laboratories. We forced him to give information to us, which led us as far as Kurtz and Lime. But we didn't arrest them as our evidence wasn't complete and it might have spoilt our chances of getting the others. Next, Payne.
I'd like a word with this orderly, Harbin.
So would I.
Well, bring him in.
I can't. He disappeared a week ago.
This is more like a mortuary than police headquarters.
We have better witnesses. Look here.
He indicates a slide labeled Record Fingerprint of Harry Lime. An eye enlarged by a magnifying glass peers at samples of handwriting. Calloway frowns at sample bottles he holds against the light. More fingerprints are studied and compared. Holly looks dispirited. The three men sit around a table, Calloway, chin in hand, Holly looking through documents passed to him by Payne. He closes one and looks up.
How could he have done it?
£70 a tube. Go back to the hotel and do keep out of trouble. I'll try and fix things with the Austrian police. You'll be all right in the hotel, but I can't be responsible for you on the streets.
I'm not asking you to.
I'm sorry, Martins.
I'm sorry, too.
Holly looks at Payne, who's opening the door for him.
Still got that airplane ticket on you?
We'll send one across to your hotel in the morning.
Thank you.
The Russian officer enters.
Get me Austrian police headquarters.
Can I have that woman's passport? You know, the Anna Schmidt one.
We're not going to pick her up for that, are we?
What can we do? We have our instructions.
Reluctantly, Calloway opens his desk drawer, retrieves a passport in the name of Anna Schmidt and drops it on the desk. On the tiny dance floor of a nightclub, a girl in a swirling skirt, high heels and little else performs a simple twirling dance. A waiter bearing a single glass on a tray passes by and delivers it to Holly, who's at a table folding banknotes. He waves a note away. Girls sitting at the bar turn to inspect him. He looks around, sees an old woman holding white chrysanthemums. He gulps down his drink, gestures to the woman and rises. He takes two bunches, all she has, hands her money and sets off up the stairs as another girl arrives. Anna is lying in the dark, eyes wide open.
Verista.
Me.
She gets out of bed, pulls on a dressing gown, crosses the room and switches on the light.
It's me.
She opens the door. Outside, Holly, flowers in his hand, takes off his hat and smiles.
Hello.
What is it? What's happened to you?
Just came to see you.
Come in. I thought you were going to keep away. Are the police after you?
I don't know.
She closes the door carefully.
You're drunk, aren't you?
A bit. Sorry.
I did want to say goodbye before I pushed off. I'm going back home.
Why?
It's what you've always wanted. All of you.
He tries to play with a kitten on the bed.
Kitty? Here, kitty. Kitty, here, kitty. Kitty. Kitty, kitty, kitty. Don't you want to play, kitty? Sleepy? Sleepy, kitty?
The kitten heads for the window.
Not very sociable, is he?
No, he only liked Harry. What made you decide so suddenly?
I brought you these. They got a little wet.
What happened to your hand?
A parrot. Let it go.
Have you seen Calloway?
Imagine a parrot nipping a man.
Have you?
It's... Oh, I've been saying goodbye all over. You know.
He told you, didn't he?
Told me?
About Harry.
Do you know?
She nods.
I've seen Major Calloway today.
She turns away and Holly moves to her. A solitary figure enters the dark square outside, casting a long shadow which reaches up onto the wall of a building 15 meters away. A white face looks up towards Anna's lighted window, and the figure moves into the darkness of the doorway facing her apartment. Her tabby and white kitten trots along the cobbled pavement, stops by a pair of well-polished shoes in the doorway, and curls up between them. The kitten looks up and begins to play with the laces of the shiny black brogues, pawing them and chewing at them. Anna is sitting on the edge of her bed, hands clasped. Holly turns away from her.
He's better dead. I knew he was mixed up, but not like that.
I knew him for 20 years. At least I thought I knew him. Suppose he was laughing at fools like us all the time.
He liked to laugh.
70 pounds a tube. He wanted me to write for his great medical charity.
I'll put these flowers in the water.
Perhaps I could have raised the price to 80 pounds for him.
Oh, please, for heaven's sake, stop making him in your image. Harry was real. He wasn't just your friend and my lover. He was Harry.
Well, don't preach wisdom to me. You talk about him as if he had occasional bad manners. No, I don't know. I'm just a hack writer who drinks too much and falls in love with girls. You?
Me?
Don't be such a fool, of course.
If you drank me up and asked me were you fair or dark, or had a mustache, I wouldn't have known.
Well, I am leaving Vienna. I don't care whether Harry was murdered by Kurtz or Popesco or the third man. Whoever killed him, there was some sort of justice. Maybe I would have killed him myself.
A person doesn't change because you find out more.
Look, I've got a splitting headache, and you stand there and just talk and talk and talk. I hate it. That's the first time I ever saw you laugh. Do it again.
Anna's face crumples.
There isn't enough for two.
She sits on the bed again. Holly leans against the bed end beside her.
I'd make comic faces and stand on my head and grin at you between my legs and learn all sorts of jokes. I wouldn't stand a chance, would I?
She doesn't look up. A tear forms and drops onto her cheek.
Well, you did tell me I ought to find myself a girl.
She screws up her face, controlling the tears. He straightens up. Outside, he slouches across the square, overcoat unbuttoned, hands thrust in his jacket pockets, and kicks a pebble. The kitten's still sitting between the black shoes, their owner still invisible in the dark doorway. Holly stops, looks back, sees the kitten, and moves to the shelter of a corner.
What kind of a spy do you think you are, Satchelfoot? What are you tailing me for?
He moves back into the open.
Cat got your tongue? Come on out. Come out, come out, whoever you are.
Anna's kitten sits between the shoes, calmly washing.
Step out in the light and let's have a look at you. Who's your boss?
A light goes on.
Soms was heute nie überhaupt ein. Sind Sie deppert? Ja, Sie meine ich. Schauen Sie zu blöd. Eine Frechheit ist das, mitten in der Nacht zu einem Krawall zu
machen. The light falls on the man's face. He smiles wryly at Holly.
Harry!
Eine Frechheit ist das, zu einem Krawall zu machen.
The light goes out. Holly sets off across the square but jumps back as a car passes. He crosses to the doorway, but Harry has gone. Holly looks around, turns in a complete circle, then dashes to a corner and sees the shadow of a running man.
Harry!
He gives chase, down the street, through an archway, and into another much larger square with a kiosk in the centre. He comes to a stop. Again he turns, searching, looking in all directions around the wide, deserted square. He runs around the kiosk, sees nothing but the high buildings with their darkened windows. He tips his hat back and wanders over to a shallow stone bowl held by a cherub. He leans against it, rubs his face with his hand, scoops up a sip of water from the bowl and splashes his face. He turns suddenly to look again at the kiosk. Looks up at the cherub and angrily splashes it.
I followed his shadow until suddenly...
Well?
This is where he vanished.
I see.
I suppose you don't believe me.
No.
Look, I tell you, you don't think I'm blind, do you?
Yes. Where were you when you saw him first?
50 yards right down there.
Which side of the road?
I was on that side, his shadow was on that side, and there are no turnings on either side.
What about the doorways?
I tell you, I heard him running ahead of me.
Yes, yes, yes. And then he vanished out there, I suppose, with a puff of smoke and like a clap of...
Calloway stares suddenly at the tall octagonal kiosk. He strides over to it, followed by Payne, fits his fingers under one vertical edge and pulls. A door opens and Payne leans in to see a circular brick-built well with stairs leading down. He steps back and looks at Calloway.
It wasn't the German gin.
Calloway leads the others down the stairs. At the bottom, they pass through a short tunnel and arrive on a gantry beneath an arched ceiling. In front of them, a torrent of water rushes over a fall and into man-made channels even deeper below them. Carefully, they pick their way along a narrow channel until they reach a junction with a wide arched tunnel perhaps 20 meters across, with water feeding into it from several smaller channels.
What's this? Where are we?
It's the main sewer. Runs right into the Blue Danube. Smells sweet, doesn't it?
Payne walks over to Calloway.
We should have dug deeper than a grave.
Moonlight and handheld flares light the graveyard where Harry was buried. Calloway strolls along a path away from a group of men around an open grave. In it, two men dig, throwing out spades full of earth. Holly's sitting by the path, playing with a burning flare. A man in a cap walks over to him.
So, Peter, let's bring it in, Sauerkraut.
Holly walks to the grave.
Aufmachen.
The man in the cap kneels by the grave and slowly lifts the coffin lid. At the other end of the pit, Calloway and Payne stare down without expression. Calloway tilts his head to get a better look inside. Payne observes him carefully. Calloway straightens and moves away. Holly watches.
Do you know him, Major?
Yes. Yes, Joseph Harbin. Medical orderly at the General Hospital. He used to work for Harry Lyme.
Joseph Harbin?
Yes. He's the man I told you was missing. Next time we'll have a foolproof coffin.
A hand picks up Anna's open passport. Brodsky emerges from the Russian liaison office and beckons to a Russian police officer.
Smirnov, пожалуйста. Возьмите этот паспорт и произведите арест.
Слушайте, товарищ.
The Russian leaves with British, American and French officers. The old lady, quilt round her shoulders, follows them upstairs. Anna is lying in the dark, a tear glistening on her cheek.
Internationale Polizei.
Anna hesitates before slowly rising and reaching for her dressing gown, tying it carefully before walking to the door and, without switching on the light, opening it.
Fräulein Schmidt?
Ja, was wollen Sie?
Sie müssen mit uns kommen.
Warum?
Ist das Ihr Pass?
Ja?
Bitte ziehen Sie sich an.
As he closes the passport, she looks away, then back into the face of the unsmiling policeman. She turns, picks up a pile of clothes from the back of a chair and carries them to a dark corner of the room as the other police enter. The British officer goes back outside where the old woman stands.
Was ist denn nun wieder los? Kommen Sie jetzt jeden Tag zu uns? Was machen denn die da drinnen? Da können Sie nicht reden? Antworten Sie mir doch! Ja, nicken kann er jeder. Reden sollen Sie. Können Sie nicht Deutsch? Die Sprache hätten Sie längst lernen können. Lang genug sind Sie ja schon hier. Jetzt geht er weg. Ja, was glotzen Sie mich denn so an? Haben Sie noch nie einen Türken gesehen? Ja.
The British policeman nods patiently as he re-enters Anna's room. She comes back into the light, pulling on a jacket over a white blouse, watched by the Russian. She walks past him, switches on the light, and picks up an overcoat. The American helps her on with it.
Where are you taking me?
International Police Headquarters. Just a check-up.
Haben Sie denn gar kein Schamgefühl?
Aber regen Sie sich nicht
auf.
Ist gut. Beruhigen Sie sich. Sind Sie fertig, Fräulein?
I'm sorry, miss. It's orders. We can't go against the protocol.
I don't even know what protocol means.
Neither do I, miss.
Mademoiselle? Your lipstick.
Anna takes it and leads the squad out past the old woman. Holly is pacing up and down the wide staircase of police headquarters. He looks down and sees Anna and her escort climbing the stairs.
Anna, what's happened to me?
All right. Keep out of this.
Listen, I've got to talk to you. I've just seen a dead man walking.
All right, John, get back.
I saw him buried.
Okay.
And now I've seen him alive.
Anna looks at him without expression. Calloway comes out of an office carrying papers. He waits until the group reaches him.
Just a minute. Bring her in here.
He strides towards his office. Anna and the police follow. Holly tries to join them.
You stay out here.
Come in, Miss Schmidt.
The police wait outside.
Now then, Miss Schmidt. I'm not interested in your forged papers. That's purely a Russian case. When did you last see Lime?
2 weeks ago.
I want the truth, Miss Schmidt. We know he's alive.
It is true, then.
Joseph Harbin's body was found in the coffin.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said another man was buried in his place.
Where's Harry?
That's what we want to find out.
I'm sorry, I don't seem able to understand anything you say. He's alive. Now this minute he's doing something.
Miss Schmidt, we know he's somewhere across the canal in the Russian sector. You may as well help us. In a few minutes, Colonel Brodsky will be questioning you about your papers. Tell me where Lime is.
I don't know.
If you help me, I am prepared to help you.
Martin's always said you were a fool.
Vienna is a closed city, Miss Schmidt. He can't get away. Right?
Poor Harry. I wish he was dead. He would be safe from all of you then.
She leaves with the police. Daytime, Holly walks briskly past a huge pile of rubble, looking up at a house still standing, and goes to the bell push. A figure appears on the balcony.
Why, that's you! Come up!
Pinkel, look who is here.
I want to speak to you, Kurtz.
Of course, come up.
I'll wait here.
I don't understand.
I want to talk to Harry.
Winkel winces.
Are you mad?
All right, I'm mad. I've seen a ghost. You tell Harry I want to see it.
Be reasonable. Come up and talk.
No, thank you. I like the open. Tell him I'll wait by that wheel there. Or the ghosts only rise by night, Dr. Finkel. You got an opinion on that?
Holly walks away towards the enormous Ferris wheel he was just pointing at. Kurtz puts his arm on Winkle's shoulder as they turn back into their apartment. Holly, with his coat draped over his shoulders, is sitting at the foot of a nearby fairground ride. He lights a cigarette, stands, and pulls on the chains holding the seats of the disused ride. The Ferris wheel fills the sky behind him, turning very slowly, the cars like miniature railway carriages. Holly looks back, past the stationary toy horses of a roundabout. In the distance, a man in a black coat and hat is walking quickly, his shadow sharp against the white wall behind him. Holly moves slowly towards the man, his face set, eyes slightly narrowed. The man slows down, alters direction, and approaches Holly, who waits. As he gets nearer, the man, Harry, pulls off his gloves and offers Holly his hand. Holly ignores it.
Hello, old man. How are you?
Hello, Harry.
Well, they seem to have given you quite some busy time.
Now listen.
Yes?
I want to talk to you.
Talk to me? Of course. Come on.
They get into one of the Ferris wheel cars and Harry gives the attendant money.
Kids used to ride this thing a lot in the old days, but they haven't the money now for the devil.
Frühstück?
Geht in Ordnung.
Oh, vielen Dank.
Listen, Harry, I didn't believe it.
Good to see you, Harvey. Was that your funeral?
It was pretty smart, wasn't it? Oh, the same old indigestion, Holly. These are the only things that help, these tablets. These are the last. Can't get them anywhere in Europe anymore.
You know what's happened to your girl? She's been arrested.
Tough, very tough, but don't worry, old man. They won't hurt her.
You're handing her over to the Russians.
What can I do, old man? I'm dead, aren't I?
You can help somehow.
Holly. Exactly who did you tell about me?
I told the police.
Unwise, Holly.
And Anna?
Unwise. Did the police believe you?
You don't care anything at all about Anna, do you?
I've got quite a lot on my mind.
You wouldn't do anything.
What do you want me to do?
I'll
be reasonable.
Somebody else
to expect me to give myself up.
Why not?
It's a far, far better thing that I do with the old limelight, the fall of the curtain. Oh, Holly, you and I aren't heroes. The world doesn't make any heroes.
You've got plenty of contacts.
Outside of your stories. I've got to be so careful. I'm only safe in the Russian zone. I'm only safe here as long as they can use me.
As long as they can use you.
I wish I could get rid of this thing.
So that's how they found out about Anna. You told them, didn't you?
Don't try to be a policeman, old man.
What do you expect me to be? Part of your...
You can have any parts you want as long as you don't interfere. I've never cut you out of anything.
So I remember when they raided the gambling joint and you were safe way out.
Sure.
Yeah, safe for you, not safe for me.
Old man, you never should have gone to the police, you know. You ought to leave this thing alone.
Have you ever seen any of your victims?
You know, I never feel comfortable on these sort of things. Victims? Be melodramatic.
He opens the car door.
Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stopped moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, old man. Free of income tax. Well, we can save money nowadays.
A lot of good your money will do you in jail.
That jail's in another zone. There's no proof against me. Besides you.
He gives Holly a cool, thoughtful look. Holly wraps one arm around the door pillar.
I should be pretty easy to get rid of.
Pretty easy?
Wouldn't be too sure.
I carry a gun. Don't think they'd look for a bullet wound after you hit that ground.
Dug up your coffin.
And found Harbin? Pity.
Holly. What fools we are, talking to each other this way, as though I'd do anything to you. Or you to me. You're just a little mixed up about things in general. Nobody thinks in terms of human beings. Governments don't. Why should we? They talk about the people and the proletariat. I talk about the suckers and the mugs. It's the same thing. They have their 5-year plans. So have I.
You used to believe in God. Well, I still do believe in God, old man. I believe in God and
Mercy and all that, but the dead are happier dead. They don't miss much here, poor devils.
He writes Anna's name in the dust on the window and taps it with his fingers.
What do you believe in?
Oh, if you ever get Anna out of this mess, be kind to her. You'll find she's worth it. I wish I'd asked you to bring me some of these tablets from home.
Holly, I'd like to cut you in on a man. There's nobody left in Vienna I can really trust, and we've always done everything together. When you make up your mind, send me a message. I'll meet you any place, any time, and when we do meet, old man, it's you I want to see. Not the police. Remember that, won't you? Don't be so gloomy. After all, it's not that awful. Well, what the fella said. In Italy, for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed, but they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love. They had 500 years of democracy and peace, and what did that produce? The cuckoo clock. So long, Holly.
He smiles and walks rapidly back the way he came, giving Holly one last look over his shoulder. In Calloway's office.
But look here, Martins, you can always arrange to meet him at some little cafe here, in the international zone.
Wouldn't work.
We'll never get him in the Russian zone.
Calloway, you expect too much. Oh, I know he deserves to hang. You've proved your stuff, but 20 years is a long time. Don't ask me to tie the rope.
Okay, forget it.
The door opens.
Busy, Major?
What is it, Bronski?
We have identified the girl. Here is her report.
I've questioned her. We've got nothing against her.
We shall apply for her at the 4-Power meeting tomorrow. She has no right to be here.
Holly's eyes drop to Anna's passport on the desk.
I've asked your people to help with Lyme.
That's a different case. It is being looked into. So long, Major.
In the last war, a general would hang his opponent's picture on the wall. He got to know him that way. I'm beginning to know Lyme. I think this would have worked. With your help.
Holly stares out of the window.
What price would you pay?
Calloway swivels round on his chair to face him.
Name it.
Night. Holly leans on a fence, rubbing his chin against his knuckles. Behind him, huge locomotives puff white smoke. He sees Payne walking up some stairs with Anna beside him. Holly moves away. Anna shows her papers to police representing the 4 Powers. One of them nods her through, and Payne, carrying her cases, points to one of the trains. Holly watches from a distance. Payne gets into a carriage.
Here we are. You'll be all right here, miss.
Anna gets in and Payne starts to stow her bags. Anna looks at her passport.
I don't understand, Major Calloway.
I expect he's got a soft spot for you, miss.
Why has he done all this?
Don't you worry, miss. You're well out of things. There we are, miss.
Thank you, you've been so kind.
Well, I'll be saying good night. Good night, miss.
Anna subsides into a corner of the compartment, relaxes back in the seat and sighs deeply. She closes her eyes, pulls off her hat, and runs her hand through her shoulder-length dark hair. Her attention is caught by something outside. She rubs the condensation from the window and peers out. A man with his back to her is pushing open the door to a bar. He walks to the counter, undoes his overcoat, and speaks to the barmaid. It's Holly. She stands, opens the compartment door, and hurries towards the bar. He's leaning on the bar, head down, staring into an ashtray.
Are you going too?
Oh.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see you off.
See me off from here?
Oh, I watched you out of the train. No harm in that, is there?
How did you know I'd be here?
Oh, I heard something about it at police headquarters.
Have you been seeing Major Calloway again?
Of course not. I don't live in his pocket.
Harry, what is it?
For heaven's sake, stop calling me Harry.
I'm sorry.
Zum B-Zug.
What's in your mind? Why did you hide here?
Hide? Can't a fella have a drink?
Here, it'll be cold on that train.
I should be all right.
You send me a wire as soon as you are.
What's going to happen? Where is Harry?
He's safe in the Russian zone.
How do you know?
Well, I saw him today.
How is he?
He can look after himself. Don't worry.
Did he say anything about me? Tell me.
Oh, the usual things.
There's something wrong. Did you tell Calloway about meeting Harry?
Of course I didn't tell Calloway.
Why should he help me like that? The Russians will only make trouble for him.
That's his headache.
His?
Oh, Anna.
Why are you lying?
We're getting you out of here, aren't we?
I'm not going.
You...
Anna, don't you recognize a good turn when you see one?
You have seen Calloway. What are you two doing?
Well, they asked me to help take him. I'm helping.
They stare into each other's eyes. He drops his gaze and turns away.
Poor Harry.
Poor Harry. Poor Harry. Wouldn't even lift a finger to help you.
Oh, you've got your precious honesty and don't want anything else.
You still want him?
I don't want him anymore. I don't want to see him, hear him, but he's still a part of me, that's a fact. I couldn't do a thing to harm him.
Holly swings round. The shadows outside the window are filled with white swirling billows. He looks at Anna, disappointed, resigned. She looks straight ahead, defiantly. Her mouth opens, her lip quivers as the lights of the carriages disappear.
Oh, Anna, why do we always have to quarrel?
If you want to sell your services, I'm not willing to be the price.
She drops her ripped passport.
I loved him. You loved him. What good have we done him? Love. Look at yourself. They have a name for faces like that.
She turns away. He's leaning on the bar, chin in hand. He looks up to see the bar doors swinging. The coat he'd placed on her shoulders lies crumpled on the floor. Police headquarters. Holly runs up the stairs two at a time. Pulling open the doors of Calloway's office, he meets Calloway and Payne on their way out.
Oh, Calloway. Right, there you are. Come in here. There isn't much time.
I want to get a plane out of here tonight.
So she talked you out of it. Gave me these.
He throws down her passport.
A girl of spirit. She's right. It is none of my business.
It won't make any difference in the long run. I'll get him.
I won't have helped.
That'll be a fine bunch to make. Well, I always wanted you to catch that plane, didn't I?
You all did.
I'd better see if there's anyone still at the terminus. You may need a priority.
In Calloway's Jeep.
Mind if I drop off somewhere on the way? I've got an appointment. It won't take 5 minutes.
Of course.
Why don't you come in, too? You're a writer. It might interest you. This is the biggest children's hospital in Vienna. All the kids in here are the result of Lyme's penicillin racket.
Holly glances at Calloway, then sets off up the ward on his own, walking slowly, looking into each cot. The nurses are nuns, all in white, moving slowly and carefully. Calloway talks quietly with one, then joins Holly, who's gazing into a cot with a teddy bear tied to the frame, facing the patient.
It had meningitis. They gave it some of Lyme's penicillin. Terrible pity, isn't it?
He crosses the ward. A nun stands. Calloway motions her to sit again. More nuns administer oxygen. At another cot, a sad-faced nun removes a kidney dish full of cotton wool, and yet another marks the final high point on a child's temperature chart. She drops a teddy bear face down beside the cot. In the Jeep, Calloway leans forward and taps Holly on the shoulder.
Payne lent me one of your books. Oklahoma Kid, I think it was. I read a bit of it. Looked as if it was going to be pretty good. What made you take up this sort of thing? Been doing it for long?
All right, Calloway, you win.
I never knew there were snake charmers in Texas.
I said you win.
Win what?
I'll be your dumb decoy duck.
One side of Calloway's mouth twitches up in a slight smile. In the Café Marc Aurel, Holly sits at a window seat watching. Lamps throw pools of light interspersed with shadow on the building opposite. The far end of it from Holly's seat is bomb-damaged, and piles of rubble lie in the square. Holly leans over to see as far as possible. A few plants tremble in the breeze. At vantage points in the area, Austrian police keep watch. behind a statue on a formal portico, in shadows by a dark alley with bright light at the far end, faces half in light, half in darkness. As they breathe, small clouds of condensation hang for a moment in the air. Only a few windows show any light. The streets and alleys are still. Holly toys with his coffee cup. The policeman on the portico peers at the enormous shadow of a man creeping into the square and looks down. From deep shadows beside the entrance to the building, Calloway in beret and duffel coat leans forward and checks the square in both directions. Payne also leans forward cautiously. The shadow slides slowly across the light-coloured wall and disappears into shadow again. Another policeman bends to see better, and Holly straightens up in the cafe, also watching. A man plods stiffly into the square, holding balloons on a string high above his head. Calloway and Payne ease back into the shadows. Policemen resume their static watch. Holly relaxes.
Look, sir.
Calloway stiffens. Holly twists round in his chair. Anna swings the door open and stares at him. She leans against the doorpost.
How much longer are you going to sit here?
Shall I go over there, sir?
No, I'll leave them for a while.
The old man with the balloons hobbles by, leaning on a stick. He stops and looks at Calloway and Payne, who turn their backs to him. Calloway glances back over his shoulder. The old man, with a full white beard, turns unsteadily towards them, stumbling as he does.
Nine, Dunker, nine.
The old man smiles ingratiatingly and jiggles the balloons up and down.
Balloon?
Fight again, for things in it.
Yes, he may. Go on, hop it, scarper. Balloon, mein Herr.
Gehen Sie weiter, bitte.
Payne steps forward, hand in pocket.
You right. Come on, snell. All right, only one. Go on, scarper.
Payne dives back into the shadows, holding a balloon. The man replaces his hat and moves away. Harry Lime materializes high up on a bomb-damaged building. He stands, drawing on a cigar in his black Homburg and black coat, watching a horse-drawn cart ambling through the square and gazing down at the ancient buildings, the statues and the broken walls. Another horse and cart trot by below him. Opposite him and to his right, he can see the striped awning over the front of the cafe. Inside, Anna stares down coldly at Holly, still sitting at the table in the window.
How did you know I was here anyway?
From Kurtz. They've just been arrested. But Harry won't come. He's not a fool.
Yes, Payne. Slip over there. See what she's up to.
Right, sir.
Don't tell me you're doing all this for nothing.
Harry eases open the back door of the cafe.
What's your price this time?
No price, Anna.
Honest, sensible, sober, harmless Holly Martins. Holly. What a silly name. You must feel very proud to be a police informer.
Anna turns and sees Harry.
Harry, get away. The police are outside.
Harry draws a gun.
Quick!
Anna!
Harry waves Anna aside, sees Payne at the front door, turns and runs out. Payne rushes into the street.
Sheriff! The back!
Police, some with dogs, pour from hiding places around an elaborate Baroque fountain and race to the bomb site leading to the back of the cafe. Harry emerges through the remains of a doorway, heading to his left, sees police running towards him, turns and picks his way quickly and carefully down a steep pile of rubble. He reaches level ground and dashes away. Payne leads pursuers down some stone steps. Harry sprints along an alley into bright misty light and out of sight around a corner. Beside a tree, he kneels and pulls up a triangular metal flap, then another, and a third. He scrambles into the hole, pulling the last flap down behind him. A policeman, rifle in hand, long overcoat flapping, jumps down too, followed by Payne, Calloway and Holly. Down in the sewers, Harry, now hatless, races along the gantry beside the fall, while the others run awkwardly down circular stairs. They reach the gantry in time to see Harry sloshing away along a narrow channel below them. Calloway, pistol in hand, leads the chase. Harry looks back, sees figures silhouetted behind, and darts away into the wide main sewer. Calloway, Payne and Holly follow slowly. Payne catches a glimpse of Harry. Calloway leads, Payne and another policeman follow. Calloway flattens himself against the wall, signaling the others to do the same. Holly is struggling along in the middle of the sewer.
Martins, get back!
Polly looks up, then moves over to the wall. They all wait. Above on the street, a truck stops. Men in white overalls jump out and start opening a manhole. Conventionally uniformed police clamber out of a second vehicle. The four in white scurry down circular stairs while the others stand around the sewer entrance. The four in white reach the main sewer. One holds a powerful flashlight, a second a burning flare. They stare along the sewer. They spot a tiny figure at the limit of their vision. Harry flattens himself against the wall, then runs on. Payne moves forward. Against bright light ahead, he sees someone running. Calloway takes the lead. Harry ducks into a side passage, turns a corner. Ahead, more lights and running men. He dashes on, twists into another passage and starts climbing circular stairs. He stops. Above him on the surface, more men in white begin opening the manhole he came in by. Below, Harry bends double to run through a low, narrow passage while the men in white pour down the manhole. Harry listens. Men with burning flares approach. One stops, looks at his own shadow and waves his companions back. They get to the next bend, hesitate, turn back. Harry continues along the low passage. He sees a light coming towards him and leaps for iron rungs leading upwards. There are men in white above ground. He climbs down. More men in white descend the circular stairs. They move slowly across the gantry using flashlights, peering into all the passages. An officer in white emerges cautiously from a tunnel. As he leads a squad of four along the next passage, Harry steps onto the gantry. The four in white deploy in the main sewer. Alert police eyes scan the waters and the passages. Yet more men in white clamber down the iron rungs from the surface. The leader stares into a wide, arched passage, completely in darkness. He and his squad listen intently, staring into the blackness, one holding a flashlight, off but at the ready. The flashlight reveals Harry. The squad in white splash through the shallow water, reflections from their flashlights sparkling off the brickwork. Harry tears up a staircase, then hauls himself up more iron rungs. Another squad in white opens the flaps at street level. Harry backs down, looks around, dives through a short passage back to the gantry. He hesitates before swinging over the gantry railing and edges across the wide stream flowing towards the fall. His trousers are shiny wet. He disappears. Three men in white cross the wide stream. Three more abseil down the fall on ropes, stoop through the curtain of water into a tunnel behind and disappear. Harry races across another bridge above the men in the tunnel, ducking aside when he hears them, trembling as he watches them wade along below him. When they've gone, he darts back over the bridge, through yet another tunnel, up more stairs. Harry backs down, crosses another wide stream, runs through a short tunnel, and finds himself in a high, cathedral-like chamber. Openings of different heights and styles, square, arched, round and narrow, lead off in all directions. He looks around frantically. The voices come from everywhere. Desperately, he runs through one of the archways. Holly sees him climbing down into his own tunnel. Harry has a pistol in his hand.
Harry!
Harry runs, hides in another turning.
Is that you?
You're through, Harry. Come out. You haven't got a chance this way.
What do you want?
You might as well give up.
Payne comes running.
Get back! Get back! Keep back, sir! Come back! Hey, come back, sir!
Payne stops, coughs, leaning forward, sinks to his knees and falls in a heap. Harry darts out of his hiding place. Calloway aims. Harry puts a hand to his back before falling. Calloway and Holly turn Payne over, and Calloway opens his jacket. Harry's crawling to the foot of a spiral iron staircase. He drags himself upwards, eyes seeking the light from a grating above. He makes another step, still holding the pistol, face smeared with dirt, shiny and dripping with perspiration. Calloway, still on his knees, straightens up slowly. Harry can see the square holes of the grating above, and he strains to reach them, his full boyish face almost pleading with the effort. He makes another step as Holly uncurls Payne's fingers from around a pistol. Calloway's still looking down at Payne. Harry makes another huge effort, rises a little further. Holly is striding along the tunnel in the direction Harry took. Harry's hands reach the grating. His fingers stretch through it into the night above and grip. Head tilted back, he stares up through it. From the tunnel below, Holly looks up at Harry, pushing at the grating. At street level, Harry's fingers wave hopelessly, as if they're feeling the air outside, then slip back in. Holly moves closer, and Harry sees him. Back down the tunnel, Calloway stands.
Martin! Martin! Be careful, Martin! Don't take any chances! You see him shoot!
Harry gives a little frown. He and Holly look at each other for a long time. Harry's face puckers for a moment, and he nods slightly. Holly drops his eyes, looks back up at Harry. Calloway's still in the tunnel. He stops, stares into the bright misty light at the end of the tunnel. A figure takes shape, a silhouette moving slowly. It's Holly. Day, the priest, stands over a grave.
Herr, gib ihm die ewige Ruhe, dass sie ruhen in Frieden. Amen.
The priest turns away. Someone offers Anna a spatula and she drops earth into the grave. She turns and goes. Calloway moves past the still figure of Holly, who puts on his hat and joins the policeman. Anna's walking quickly along a path away from them. The two men get into Calloway's jeep.
What time is it? 2:30.
Anna is ahead of them, walking briskly along the cemetery avenue.
I'll have to step on it if you're going to catch that plane. Calloway, can't you do something about Anna? I'll do what I can, if she'll let me.
They drive past Anna, hands in her overcoat pocket, Trilby-style hat tilted slightly to one side, bag slung from her shoulder. Holly looks at her, but she doesn't respond.
Wait a minute, let me out. Well, there's not much time. One can't just leave. Please.
Calloway stops the jeep.
Be sensible, Martins. Haven't got a sensible name, Calloway.
Harry gets out, grabs his holdall from the back of the jeep and crosses the avenue, staring back down at the distant, solitary figure of Anna. He throws the bag onto a small wooden cart loaded with logs, turns and leans back against the cart, still gazing down the long, ruler-straight avenue. Calloway watches him for a few moments, then drives off. The evenly spaced trees that line the avenue have been heavily pruned, so that only the topmost branches remain, cut short and pointing stiffly at the sky, like fingers. A few leaves flutter down from them. Anna comes steadily on, walking in the center of the road. Holly watches, still leaning on the cart, one foot crossed over the other, hands in jacket pockets, motionless. She doesn't acknowledge him as she approaches. She draws level with him and passes by without a glance, her pace unchanging. He turns his head to watch her as she goes. Slowly he takes his hands out of his pockets holding a pack of cigarettes. He opens the pack, takes one out and puts it in his mouth. In the other hand he has matches. He lights the cigarette, puffs out a cloud of smoke, and throws down the match. picture fades. The end. The audio description was written and read by Peter Wickham.